So Heavenly Father, you have never failed us yet. We won't forget how you have been so faithful to us. We think of the families in this church. We think of all the things that you have done for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not his benefits. We'll never forget your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this sweet spirit. We thank you for the student's testimony today, reminding us of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Would you say thank you to our students one more time? What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're here with us this summertime, we're glad you're here. And welcome to our service. My wife Pat and I'd love to meet you. Come by and say hello to us on your way out at Guest Central. And I want to begin by saying thank you to our church. I've never been more pleased, more proud, if I can say it that way, than the hard work of all of our people, security teams, feeding people, all the rest. While we had these very, very sad services last week for Sergeant Daniel Baker, honoring him in his memory, we tried our best to find some pictures. There's so many. You would have had to have been here. Thank you for giving up your seats so that we could have this place for all of those who came our way. There's no way to describe the vastness of the many thousands, literally, of people who are here all across the United States. This whole bottom area we reserved for law enforcement. Could not even seat all of the law enforcement over in the gym. They all gathered, gym filled, wall to wall, conference center overflowing, this place full. With all of our, I met peace officers from Boston and New York City, Wisconsin, Colorado, New Mexico, California, Texas, and of course then all of the Middle Tennessee law enforcement. And so we thank you, First Baptist Church. You did an unbelievable, amazing job. There's no way to describe how much that meant to the family and to our own local law enforcement, Sheriff Bledsoe and the others, Chief Jerome and all of them. And we thank you for their service. So I wear this blue ribbon. So I'm going to wear it this month to make a point about the importance of us remembering that when a service is over like this, dear Lisa Baker and her child, they're still alive and need ministry. We're going to continue to pray for Lisa. Lisa, if you're listening to us, we love you. We're praying for you. You don't have to know her. You can pray for her, though. And that's what we'll do as a church. Just like we've been doing, thank you for all the food that was sent, all the secret, private things that First Baptist Church has done for these dear people. And so I wear this every week for the rest of the month just to remind us of the sacrifice of law enforcement and the blessing they are to us and how they provide peace for our community and also for Lisa and her daughter. We'll do that. So thank you for doing that today. If you have your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, if you're here coming, we're talking these days, as for me and my house, what do we do? What do we do at our house? What do we do in our families? Yeah, you answered it. We will serve the Lord. That's what we talked about last week. So all through these summer months, I'm going to be talking about the family. I'm going to talk about marriage, talk about parenting, talk about some of the things that God has to say from His Word about the family. Those of you who are not married yet, this is as important for you to hear as the married people in this room. And for those of you who are married, today is a very important day for you. Don't go to sleep while Pastor Mike's trying to share with you today. It's very important for us all to understand. You see, folks, we need standards by which we can measure how well we're doing. When everybody makes up their own ideas about marriage and everybody comes up with their own thoughts, it's chaos, it's confusion. For our students who are here and our young adults who aren't married, you need a standard by which you decide and measure what's it going to look like when you, if you do, if you say I do and you marry someone. For those of you who are married, we need to come back and be reminded of God's standard for marriage. It's clear from God's Word. Now, whether people accept that or not, that's not my issue. My issue is to stand and say that as God's people, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor God's Word, and God's Word is very clear as to the responsibility of every married couple in this room. Regardless whether you've been doing this a long time or whether you just started last week as a married couple. So last week we looked at Joshua's words. He was a senior man, old in age, and here's what he said: as for me and my house, as an old man, we will serve the Lord. That's the theme we're talking about. Every household here has to decide, as for me and my house, we'll either serve the Lord or serve someone or something else. But then we come today to talk about, and this is a foundation stone for all of us, we talk about the importance of a husband and wife being united in their marriage. Sadly, that's not true of all the marriages that we know. So we'll look at God's standard for this. We'll look at what God has to say about this. So I'd like for you now to take your Bible and stand with me in honor of the preaching of God's Word and the reading of God's Word. And we read these words that come from the time of creation. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper." The Hebrew word here is the word that has to do with a completer, suitable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, this is the second time this is mentioned, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he, that is God, took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God shaped into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And then verse 24 is our focus today. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Heavenly Father, now help us as we hear your word. Teach us from your word. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amy, that baby isn't bothering anybody. Is this baby bothering anybody down here? Every one of us know about having children, so don't worry about it. We love having babies in here because it reminds us of our initiative around here at First Baptist Church. Have more Baptist babies, so keep it up. You're actually honoring God's Word in Genesis. You remember what He said? Genesis 1 is a summary of creation. In the summary, God said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply." Have Baptist babies. Keep having them. That's good. When we hear babies cry, that means there's life. That means there are multi-generations in here. We don't care if the baby cries. They'd rather listen to the baby cry than the preacher preach, I promise you. So don't worry about it. So moms and dads, don't worry. So now I want to do something. I want to identify our married couples in a different kind of way, because you're going to be a part of my sermon today. So today we're going to recognize the length of time by which people have been married in here. So I'm going to ask you just to stand, and when I call your number, I want you to remain standing, all right? So don't sit back down, stand up and stay standing. If you're here by yourself, your mate is not here for some reason, that's okay, stand up anyway. If we have widows or widowers here, you stand on your number just the same, all right? So if you've been married here and you're married for over 70 years, would you stand at this time? Anybody over 70, you can look around. Anybody 70 years in the balcony, hearing none, seeing none. If you've been married over 60 years, would you please stand? Over 60 years, way back here at the back, over here, stay up now. 60 years. If you've been married 50 years or more, would you stand? All of ours who are married, there we go, some more all around, 50 years or more. If you've been married 40 years or more, my wife Pat and I are in that group. If you've been married 40 years or more, stand up, stand up, 40 years or more. If you've been married 30 years or more, would you stand, please, and join this group, 30 years or more? Good. If you've been married 20 years or more, would you stand now? Our 20 years or more group, stand. If you've been married 10 years or more, would you stand, please? Let's give them a hand, 10 years or more. All right. And if you've been married less than 10 years, we want you to stand with us also. Stand up. All right. All around. Good. Now, so the Bible says, as we've read, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. All of you standing today, just like we've done all morning, started doing this at 8 o'clock in that service, or did it last hour, we do it this hour, to remind us all of the many, many years of commitment that have been made by those who are standing in this room. Your marriage was based when you started on your word and your commitment. Your marriage remains strong based on your word and your commitment. So today I challenge you in all that we're going to look at that you might be committed to your spouse, to be united together and continue to become and grow together in oneness and unity. Heavenly Father, for these couples who represent those who have made a commitment in marriage with their words, and their bond is their words, we pray that you might unite them to their husband and wife. May there be strength among the families of this church, and we thank you for this testimony of the faithfulness in this room to one another by these couples. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So I want you to see three things this morning. I'm going to make three observations from Genesis chapter 2. And I do this in order to remind us of how important it is for us to understand that a household is based upon a commitment, a lifelong commitment of one man, one woman to each other for life. Look, yes, there are those, again, I'm saying this, I'm talking about the standard by which marriage is measured, not the exceptions, not the troubles, not the difficulties. I'm standing to say that as a church, as God's people, as Christians, in our world, there is a need for people to know that there are many, many people who have made a commitment to one another and they are still married after decades together. And those of you who are younger in your marriage, there's always hope for your marriage if you are willing to commit yourself to that person for life. So with those things said, I want you to see three things. Number one, marriage is a commitment of one man, one woman as the most important relationship of all of life. Now I want you to go back to verse 24. Did you notice that verse 24 begins with this phrase, for this reason? Or maybe your Bible reads, for this cause. There's a reason why a man and a woman are united together in marriage. Well, look why this is so. Verse 18, we read it. God saw that Adam was in the midst of all of creation, but it wasn't good that he was alone. So God made it clear. He made for him, this Hebrew word for helper is the idea of the completer, someone who was suitable to him, someone who was suitable in the way that they think, in the way they feel, in their emotions, in their humanness. God designed male and female for them to be together so that they are suited for each other, not the same, not male and male, not female and female, male and female, to suit one another. This is God's way, God's order in creation. God's order in creation is clear that God takes woman from man. This is important for us to remember. God made a woman for a man to be suitable to him, for him to be connected to and completed by her. God made a woman from a man. We read these words that God caused Adam to sleep, verse 21, and took the rib from his side and fashioned the woman, taken from the man. These principles are so important in the world in which we live, where things get confusing about maleness and femaleness and how these things work together. God's design by creation is that we understand marriage begins when a man and a woman come together as a most important relationship. Man alone is not good. Woman is made for the man. They are a completer and they are now a couple. They are new and one. But did you see this? For this reason, a man shall do something. The first act of marriage is leaving other relationships behind and prioritizing your relationship with your husband or your wife. A man shall leave his father and his mother. This leaving, this word, this Hebrew word from the Old Testament is actually the word to forsake. You see, this is important for every married couple here. It doesn't matter if you've been married 60 years plus or 2 years. The first act of marriage which remains in place based on your commitment is for you to leave all other relationships, all other kinds of relationships, whether they're emotional, whether they're physical, you separate them all out. And the most important, the priority relationship now in your life is your relationship with your husband or with your wife. Leaving is dependence and reliance and trust and intimacy with your mate. Think about what I'm saying today. A man shall leave his father and his mother. Separation demonstrates, look, this is important. Sometimes we let other things creep in between our relationships as husband and wife. We let other things creep in, other people, somebody at work. We start to rely upon them more than we rely upon our mate. We put our children or grandchildren in place of our mate. No, all the father and mother. Why, Pat and I know some dear friends. We talked to them in the early days of their marriage. For about the first 10 years, they were having trouble. And we knew them so well, and we were puzzled, and we were friends, and we walked this journey together. One day, the wife just simply, you know, shared with us her most frustrating thing about her husband was, every summer, he'd go back home to mama and let mama do all of his clothes shopping for him. I'm not making this up. Mama was more than happy to go shopping with her little boy. He's so sweet, even though he was a full-grown man in his 40s. It was a long time done for this boy. Sweet boy, to do his own shopping at Sears and Roebuck. Oh, they don't sell clothes anymore, that's right. They had a real problem in their marriage. Mama shopping for her boy. A man shall leave his father and mother. Oh, there's boundaries. There's boundaries. And the first act of marriage is leaving. The first act of marriage is forsaking. Don't you come around here anymore, Mama or Daddy says to you. We love you, Mama and Daddy, but first we have our family. Leaving father and mother. Leaving all my friends. This is a constant challenge, talking with our young couples. They have all their own friends. Why do I have to leave all of my friends to go be with them? But you need to make new friends together. Marriage is a commitment of one man and one woman as the most important relationship in life. And you know what? Nobody should have to work at trying to see that that's the most important. That person is the most important in your life. Everybody ought to know it. Based on your schedule, based on your hobbies, based on your work, based on your friends, nobody drives a wedge between a husband and a wife. It is the first act of marriage, leaving. Some of you who've been married a long time, today you need to make the same commitment as some of our young couples. Today, if you make a commitment to be united in your marriage, what's crept into your marriage? Time to leave. Time to turn away from it. Time to forsake it. It'll strengthen your marriage. The second thing we learn from these words, they're very familiar words to us. Jesus talked about these words when asked by the Pharisees about divorce, and Paul mentions these words talking about marriage. The second thing we learn from these words, very important, is that marriage is a commitment of one man and one woman to stay together for life. To stay together for life. We read, for this reason, a man shall leave, a woman shall leave, and be joined. Now here's another interesting word. This Hebrew word has in mind gluing. It's better described as joining together. It would be the woodworker's shop. Two pieces of wood are put together in order to make a table. The wood maker cuts those pieces of wood and then fits them together. They come together. They perfectly match and complete each other. Marriage is about connecting yourself to another person, joining yourself to another person for life. For life. It is this emotional, it is this mental, it is this physical intimacy that comes over time. And Jesus reminds us, God joins us together. Oh, there's a mystery to this. We often think of marriage too lightly. It's a picture of Christ and His relationship to the church, Paul reminds us. We forget that in the act of a marriage, when two people come together and make a covenant and stand in front of witnesses and give their word. You see, this is important for people who've not chosen. They live together, but they're not willing to come together and give their word. This is the reason this is important. I always ask couples, why do you want to be married? Why don't you just live together? The answer is, I need to make a commitment before God and before people that I will live with this person for life. It's about commitment. As for me and my house, we will be united in marriage. That's the second commitment we make. This matter of joining together. Is there something pulling you apart in your years of marriage? You know, I say this because one of the most amazing things that I see, I've seen it all in my ministry life, are people who get divorced after 30 and 40 years of marriage, and it happens. Because all of a sudden, two separate themselves and become individuals again. Well, once upon a time, those of you that stood. Some of you stood and you've been married for over 60 years. Others of you 1 year or less. You had the preacher stand there. Been doing this for many, many years. Standing with couples and saying these words, which remind every one of us in here who are married and wear our wedding ring as a part of that commitment and oath and vow we've made to that other person for life. We've said these words. They're the best way to describe being joined together, for better or for worse. Lots of things happen after the day you say, I do. Life moves along. Everybody gets older. Things, seasons of life change. And you said one day in front of God and the witnesses, in front of the preacher, for better, for worse. Sometimes it's better and sometimes it's worse. For richer, for poorer. Sometimes there's enough to go around, sometimes there's not. But you're joined together, whether it's rich or poor. Whether it's better or worse, you're joined together. Two are better than one, the Bible tells us. Two are better than one. You're joined to that person for better, for worse, for richer, for poor. In sickness and in health, the days come. They can be at the beginning of marriage, they can be at the end or somewhere in between. And somebody gets sick. This wasn't your plan in your marriage. It wasn't the way you thought it was supposed to be. But you made a commitment before God and before others. Your word being your bond. Your word being your bond. And you said, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for as long as we both live. The two, as long as we both live. No matter where we live in the United States of America or in the world, no matter how many children come, no matter how many grandchildren, no matter how many other things happen, no matter what our jobs, commitment to live together for life, commitment to stay together and be joined for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for as long as we both live. Those of you who are not married in here, you make a commitment for life when you go into this. You make a commitment for life. So take it seriously. Students, young adults, my dear single friends, take it seriously. When you start to be with that other person and you're drawn to them, you look at them and say, can this be for life? Not the way we find in our culture. And I'm not going to waste my words on the culture's way of looking at and demeaning marriage. It is a matter of my commitment to Pat that puts all other relationships secondary. It is my commitment to Pat that I will stay together with her for life, joined together. I remind you, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. It's tough. You see, we say in our vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for as long as we both live. And then there's one more phrase, till at death we part. It's for life. It's for whatever comes in life, through all the seasons of life, through all the ups and downs of life that come with children, without children, with grandchildren, with great-grandchildren. Oh, all of us who are married today need to rise up and again be reminded that you've made a personal vow to your spouse, and above all others, you belong to that person and you have committed yourself for life. No hobbies, no other people, no other experiences, no other family can drive a wedge. It's you and your mate for life. One other thing I want to say. the last phrase. And they shall become one flesh. Now, God's math is a little bit unusual. It literally means that they become one flesh, one unit. The number one is used here. Now, notice this, God's math. Verse 18, you have one man named Adam. He's all by himself among the created order, naming all the animals, but there's nothing in the animal kingdom suitable to man, this magnificent creation of a human being, a male human being. And now God creates a magnificent female human being because they are perfectly suited and matched. Male to female. God's math is one man, Adam, now is joined to this magnificent female God fashioned for him. They are together now, and now two become one. Two become one. Have you ever noticed, maybe your grandparents, some of you younger here, a lot of us in here, have you ever noticed that the longer couples live together, the more they do the same thing? It's true. I'm not going to say whether it's male or female most frequently that does this, but have you ever noticed that couples, when they're together and you're visiting with both of them, one may answer all the sentences for the other one? They start reading each other's minds without the other person saying anything. They pick up similar habits. I'm talking about when you come together as one. Now, if you resist and want your own way, you know, if you're living in your marriage my way or the highway, not so good. It's yielding your way. It's committing that no other relationship, person, or thing will come between you and your spouse. It's the most important relationship in your life. And oh, by the way, you put the effort into it. You've made a commitment for life, and nothing that's going to happen in your life is going to change that, good or bad, as it goes along till you die. That's the only thing that'll separate you. And you're going to continue to come together. You see, Jesus said, what God has joined together, God's doing this of bringing you together. All of a sudden, these couples are couples, listen, not individuals. I'm about finished, but you need to listen to this. When you talk about Pat and Mike here, you call us the Millers or the Vermilias or the Shepherds or pick whoever you want. They're a couple. These two, they're suited for one another. They're matched up. They match up in such a way that they help each other and complete each other together. They're completed. Now they're finally complete. And their mind and their will and their emotions, they're satisfied by each other. They come together spiritually and they learn how to walk with God, pray together, be what God wants them to be, and then they join together in their emotions and their mind, and they finally, when they're married, come in physical relationship together. Oneness. This is God's way, church. This is God's way, oneness, where we are known as couples in completeness, so that the world sees something unique in a couple's life. They see the love. They see the commitment to each other. Your children see the commitment. Your grandchildren see the commitment. As much as we love our children and our grandchildren, and we love Mama and Daddy and Mimi and Moo Moo, whatever you call them all, they don't get above your sweet wife or husband. They're first. And they're first to the end. Until finally, the Lord takes one or the other away. So what does Jesus say? This is what I'm going to close with. Now listen to me carefully. When the Lord was talking about this verse, He said, what God has joined together, this is important. Boy, this is so important. Don't shut me off now. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder, the old King James says. It means let no man pull apart. And all around us, it happens in the church, just like the rest of the general world. For those who forget their commitment to their spouse, people pull marriages apart. Oh, that's a dangerous thing to be one who pulls marriages apart. What God joins together, let no person pull apart. So the most important commitment today, my dear friends who are married, is for you to demonstrate to God and to the rest of your family that you are one flesh with your spouse. And when you do that, lots of things begin to happen that are good. God's honored by it. He's pleased with that. It impacts your family, your children, your grandchildren, and it also strengthens your ability to avoid those who would try to pull your marriage apart. If you're 60 years plus, you still need to make this commitment today to say this: as for me and my house, we will live united in marriage. If you're just starting out, this is the best way to do it. As for me and my house, we will live united in marriage. And may God give us the strength by the help of His Holy Spirit to do it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the standard by which we can measure our own marriages. Lord, all morning long, You've seen the hundreds of our people who've stood, who've been married for a long time. Some married for well over 60 years. In fact, a large number in this church married over 60 years. And a growing large number of our young couples who have just started out in life, and all of us in between. How I pray today, more than anything else, the Holy Spirit will stir in the husbands and wives who are in this room. No more blame. No more selfishness. No more anger. But love and forgiveness for one another. Restore some of the broken relationships in our church among our married families, married couples. Restore them so that they might be strong and an example and experience completion and one and unity as You've designed it. We pray for all of our couples in this church. We pray for some, Lord, who need to step forward and say, we need to make a commitment with our mouth, a commitment in marriage ceremony to say we are together now under God, and we're committing ourselves to do it, not just living together. We pray for those who are in this room who've been here all morning long who are not married for whatever reason, some just starting out. Embed these truths in their minds, Lord. For others who find themselves in a hard place alone, we pray, Lord, and we know that You will take care of them. You will help them. So while we're in an attitude of prayer, perhaps you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But you must be willing to confess Jesus as Lord of your life. That includes your marriage, includes all your family, and believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. He is gloriously alive, and you call Him Lord, and we worship Him and follow Him. And if you're willing to do that, you'll be saved. But you need to come forward and tell the church, I'm ready to follow Jesus, and I'm ready to follow Jesus and be baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ and a disciple. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of this church. Look, we're not perfect here, but you see through all the generations who have stood, we're here together to teach one another how to follow the Lord, how to walk together, and how to serve the Lord. And some of you need somebody to encourage you in your marriage. Well, we're not perfect here, but we try to do that if we can help you. If you need a church home, we invite you to come. Whatever the decision may be, what God puts on your heart, I hope you'll do it. The pastors are going to be here. We're going to stand. Let's go ahead and stand right now. We'll stand and we'll sing this old song we sing all the time, Trust and Obey. And while we're singing from the balcony or below, if you need to come, come on right now. You're among friends. You've been putting it off. Come on. Let's sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no but to trust and obey.
Would you bow your heads, please? I know we're a little bit past time. Thank you for your patience. This is important today. This is about our families. Today we're not talking about your children or your grandchildren. We're talking about your relationship with your mate if you're married. How are you doing in your relationship with your mate? Have you drifted apart? Don't have any time for one another? Well, maybe time to leave some things. Maybe time to forsake some things. Put things first again. While we have our heads bowed, we wait in case anyone has a decision publicly. Steve's going to sing.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a frown or a cross, not a grief or a loss, but is blessed if we trust and obey.
Let's sing it together. Come on, church, you know this. Sing it.
Trust
and obey. Come on, let's sing it. Trust and obey.
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. God bless you for being here. We're honored that you were here. Please come by if you're a guest. We'd love to say hello to you at the back. And we hope you'll come back. Vacation Bible School is here. We have already almost 500 children registered. Lots of kids, lots of activity. We still need you if you'll come serve and work with us. Please, please come and help us. And may the Lord bless you. But tonight, Debbie Richard, Ken Metcalf, they'll all be sharing about Vacation Bible School. What a fun time of the year, and we get to eat Vacation Bible School cookies and Kool-Aid. All right. Well, we're going to sing and then we're going to be dismissed. God bless you. Hope to see you tonight.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.